It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Revelation 19. Jesus Christ comes and he fights with this enemy, takes the Antichrist, takes the false prophet, put them in the lake of fire, and then the millennium kingdom starts. End of the millennium kingdom, when this old earth and old heaven will be passed away, then there will be white throne judgment. And in that judgment, all these wicked people, including this Antichrist, false prophet, devil, everybody, and all these people whose name was not in the book of life, all will be destroyed. And then what happens? New heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem. Verse 43, Matthew 13:43.
Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Now he's saying, righteous people, where are they going? Going to heaven, where the Father lives. Now how can people say we are going to stay here? We are going to go to heaven. And then Daniel, chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, Daniel says how we righteous people are going to shine. That's the scripture Jesus Christ is taking.
And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
Who are the wise? Soul winners are the wise people. Means born again Christian who are winning soul, they are wise. They are going to shine like a stars. And other people, they will be resurrected and putting in a hell. We already read that. Okay, go back to the Matthew. Start from 44.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
2-3 examples he gave. He said there was a field and somebody hid the treasure. And somebody found out the treasure. And so he goes and says, hey, you want to sell this field? And whatever the money he had, he gave that money and bought that field. He was not looking for field, he was looking for treasure. Now what is that treasure? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when you receive in your heart, is a great treasure. Means if you got Jesus, Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, you are going to go to heaven and you will have everything what the Father has. In the Galatians it says, whatever Father has, all belong to you and me. Okay, and then he gives another example similar. He says one person found the pearl. So many people do not have the value of the pearl. They might be thinking it's just some kind of thing. But the person who knows the value of the pearl, he knew it's very expensive. So he sold out everything and he got that pearl of great price. And who is that pearl? Jesus Christ is called the pearl of great price. So once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your value is more than the whole world because you got the treasure in you. Okay, verse 51 and onwards. Okay, that other one example he gave the example that somebody goes and casts the net and brings everything, and then what he does, fish or good fish or good things he keeps, and other ones he throws away. So same thing, he gave the example of tear, the similar example, you take the good things and other one will be cast into the lake of fire. Okay, verse 51.
Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old.
Did you understand this? He's saying scribe means the highly educated in the Bible. In our language, they call Shastri. They know Bible very well, so they are called Shastri. And so here is saying, this scribe knows the Bible very well, knows the treasure very well, treasure of the kingdom of God. And so he said, that's the way if somebody is in the household, he's not saying it's just a But he says that scribe is like a household man. That means he knows everything about this house. He knows old, he knows good. Now, for example, if you go to somebody's house and they live there 80 years, they would know what are the old things are there and what are the new things are there. And some of them might be very valuable. Only the man of the house will know what is the treasure and what is the worth, and he can tell you old and new. That's what Jesus Christ was saying. If you paid attention, Psalm 78, verse 2, he says, he tells you parables and tells you the things of the old. So Jesus Christ is the only one, a scribe, real person who knows everything about Bible, everything about heaven. Old things are new things. That's why he came. He is called the old prophet. So the Jesus Christ is the only one can explain to you all hidden things of God, new and old. Okay. Verse 53.
And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James, and Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him.
Now we know, last week we were learning, the mother of Jesus and his brethren came, and we didn't have time to tell their names and who they were. Now here we're saying, when Jesus Christ came from that house, went and saw these people, and all these people might have seen Jesus, Mary, and his brothers and sisters. And when he is giving all these parables and all this talking detail about kingdom of God, and he's saying, I'm just like one scribe, knows all old things and new things, and I'm explaining to you. Who is this guy? He is just carpenter's son. Mary, his mother, and his brother's names are given here, and he is just an ordinary man. So what Jesus Christ was saying to them, he says, the prophet will not be honored in his country or in his house. And that's what happens. And so he's saying, that's why Jesus Christ did not do so many great things in that place. And somebody said, what place was this? He came to his own country. That's called Capernaum. And we read about Capernaum, and he says, Capernaum, the Sodom and Gomorrah will stand and judge you because you did not understand what I was teaching in your city or in your country. And so shall we rise? So we should pray and say, thank God that Jesus Christ has revealed us all the secrets of the kingdom of God. There is nothing hidden. We know partially, but we know almost the most important things. What we should know, God has revealed to us. And again, God's word says the Holy Spirit will reveal more secret to you as we stay in the Spirit. And so there is no excuse that people should say, I don't know anything about Jesus, I don't know anything about God. Satellite, radio, television, printed pages, and everywhere the word of God is preached. So the judgment day will come and people's mouth will be shut. They would not say, we didn't know. So let's pray. It's our job now. In Philadelphia, there are so many churches, and some of them are dying, and there are so many people do not know the full gospel. So God has brought us to the full gospel, and so we have to teach people old and new things, Old Testament and New Testament, how it works and how we can apply. We are in the book of Matthew, chapter 14. And we are going to start from verse 1.
At that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John, and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger.
Now, can you imagine? This Herod the king arrested John the Baptist just because he said you kept your brother's wife. And John the Baptist was not afraid of anybody. And so when he said that, he could not kill him because he was afraid, he's a prophet, but he kept him in a prison. The John the Baptist, when he was in prison, he was a little bit frustrated. He was thinking, if Jesus Christ, he is the deliverer, he's supposed to set me free. And so he got doubts, and he sent two of his disciples to go and ask Jesus, Are you the one, or we should wait for somebody else? Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 and 3, please read.
Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?
See, we learned about this last time. This John was the servant of God. He was the prophet. He preached about Christ. He witnessed about Christ. He said, I didn't know him, but God spoke to me, and God told me he's the one, and I saw the Holy Spirit coming upon him, and I am witness that he is the Son of God. But when he was in prison, he was a little bit confused. So he sent his two disciples to Jesus. And if you read that whole chapter, you will know Jesus gave him answer. They saw the signs and wonders and miracles, and they went back and he said, Tell John what you see and what you hear. Why I'm saying this, now John is in the prison. Everything has to happen. Because if you remember, John said it in John chapter 3, verse 30. He says, Jesus should increase and I should decrease. Please read.
He must increase, but I must decrease.
Now, this was the John's testimony. But when he got confused, his disciple went back to him, told him what Jesus Christ is doing, and then I think his doubt went away. And then this time, this king had the birthday, but his wife planned everything beforehand. When king's birthday will come, and you're going to dance, she's telling her daughter, you're going to dance, and when he's pleased, ask him John the Baptist's head on the platter. Girl did not argue, so somehow she said, okay, mom, I'll do it. When his birthday came, and now they wanted his head. Let's go back to the Matthew chapter 14 and start reading from 9.
And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison.
Now see, this man, I don't think he had any wisdom. Even though he said to other people, in front of other people, they were having party, people are eating, he could say, okay, I promise you, I will keep my promise, but let the people are eating now, I cannot cut his neck and bring it here, let these people go, and he could set the date, maybe 3 weeks or 6 months, a time, I'll do it. But exactly he did it right there. But I believe John the Baptist went to heaven because he testified about Jesus Christ. He was offended, but when disciples came back, I think his life changed and he was ready to give his life. And he gave his life for the truth. Okay, verse 11.
And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus.
Now when you say his disciple, is not Jesus' disciples. John's disciples came and took his body and buried. And then they came to Jesus and then told Jesus' story. Verse 13.
When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities.
Jesus took a ship, a little boat or something, and they went to the mountains and the desert place. And somehow, all the time, wherever Jesus goes, they will find out the lonely place. He wanted to spend some time in prayer. He wanted to spend some time alone, but here people came. And Mark says a little bit in detail. Matthew just said they followed him on foot out of the cities. See what Mark says. Mark chapter 6, verse 33.
And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him.
See, he said they ran. The people were running to see Jesus. And so, how much they were hungry and thirsty. Here, Jesus take the boat ride or ship ride with the disciples. These people are walking and running and going where Jesus Christ was. Start reading from verse 14. Matthew 14:14.
And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick.
See, when he saw multitudes of people. Now, I don't know what time was it, but I think it's a daytime. Maybe started from morning, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, or something like that. And they are there a whole day. They were listening to Jesus Christ, and they were giving the prayer request. And the Word of God says Jesus Christ had compassion towards them. When you have compassion towards people, then the people can get healed, delivered, and set free. We don't have to think it's a burden. Somebody calls, it's not a burden. We take the phone call, talk to them, pray with them, just like we were just rushing to church and somebody calls. And so I took the call and prayed, and God did a miracle. And so Jesus Christ had the compassion. You remember once I told you, I finished the 3-day service. I was rushing to the railway station and here comes somebody. Come to my house, somebody's sick in my family. And I was thinking, my train is going to come within 5 minutes. And he says, please come. But it's a long story. I went there and I prayed, Lord, stop the train. When I came back and I asked the man, did I miss my train? He said, train is 2 hours late. So I got my train. So the Word of God is saying we have to have compassion over the people. When you think that somebody is sick, think that your brother or your mother or your relatives are sick. How do you handle that? The same way you handle when somebody is sick. And so Jesus Christ had compassion, and he's teaching us. Important thing is, think about those people like your own people and pray for them, and then it will work. Verse 15.
And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.
Now it's the evening time. I don't know if it's at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, but it's a dinner time. And disciples are saying, send these people away, because when he's talking, they're listening. And though indirectly they're saying, you stop talking and tell these people go home and come tomorrow, or we'll see you some other day. and tell them to go and buy their own food. But Jesus said, let's read verse 16.
But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat.
He said, they don't have to go. You give them the food. Now just think how many people were there. There were 5,000 men and the ladies and the children. So if you total 5,000 and 5,000 ladies, 10,000, and if they have two children each, almost 20,000 people were sitting there. And now Jesus Christ says, feed them. You feed them. And that's why they start thinking, how are we going to feed them? Let's read further, verse 17.
And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes.
Now here they're saying, we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But if you read in St. John, this story is given in John, Matthew, and Mark. So in John, Jesus talked to Philip. Philip says, even the $200 food will not be enough. Then Philip goes to Andrew and says, you know, we may need food. So Andrew goes for looking if anybody has a food. And they found young boy carrying food for father. How much food do you have? He said, maybe I have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I'm carrying this food maybe for my father in the field or something. But they said, can we borrow your food? And they took his food, and that's why they're saying in here. Otherwise, somebody will say, how they got this food? You have to read this in John chapter 6, 8 and 9.
One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?
We have the food, and I believe Jesus Christ can multiply. That's what they believe. But at the same time, they got a little bit doubt that if this little fish, 2 fishes and 5 loaves, will not be enough. But if they had a little bit knowledge about the Word of God, there was a similar situation, but not like a 20,000 people, only 100 people. And how God's servant multiply the food. Let's read 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 to 44.
And there came a man from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people, that they may eat. And his servitor said, what should I set this before 100 men? He said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof, according to the word of the Lord.
See, here the situation. There are 100 people. One man brings 20 loaves. And they have corns. So they had almost enough if 100 people takes 1/4 a piece of bread and some other vegetable. They would have enough, but they had doubt. So the servant of God says, give it to them, and we will have more than enough and left over. And they did, and they had a left over. So if somebody read that in the Bible, they would say, well, we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus can multiply this. It happened before, and Jesus can do it. And so somehow they got this to Jesus Christ. Go back to the Matthew. Matthew chapter 14, verse 18.
He said, bring them hither to me.
Now, they got some assurance. Jesus did not say, are you kidding? 20,000 people and you got 5 loaves and 2 fishes? But he saw their faith. Whatever little bit you have, it can be multiplied. But if you don't believe, it will not happen. You remember that Elijah went to one widow's house and she was just getting some sticks ready to cook some couple of loaves of bread. They say cake, but it's a bread. And she wanted to die because it's a famine. Elijah said, could you give me a glass of water? She said, okay. He said, wait a minute. before you bring some water, could you bring me a loaf of bread? She said, I have a little bit flour and a little bit oil. We are going to make this bread and we are going to eat and we are going to die. He said, no, give it to me first. It sounded like a selfish, right? This man is so selfish. He said, don't give it to your child. Give it to me first. Now I'm going to make a two bread. If I give it to him one and one for my child, and I'll be hungry. He said, give it to me first and then go and start making. And then that flour and that oil will last until the famine ends. She trusted the man of God. So it works. If somebody reads the Bible in the Old Testament or New Testament, their faith will increase. I don't know it happened to you, but it happened to us many times. When we have some cookout or some relatives are coming, and so we just pray over the food, and we had no problem anytime lacking the food. We will have more than enough. And so try sometimes. You just pray over the food. Not only praying, I even to cook food with prayer. Before I cook, we pray. While cooking, we pray. Giving people, pray. And eating, we pray. And so, here the word of God is saying, Jesus Christ is teaching us, when you have faith and come by faith, it will work. So they brought the bread to Jesus Christ. He says, bring it to me. Now they are looking what he's going to do. Matthew chapter 14, verse 19.
And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the five loaves and the two fishes and looking.
Just read half part. Now hear what he did. Before he could do anything with the bread, he says, let the people sit. And they sat 50-50 in a row. Now they are already sat. That means food is coming. If there is no food, why are you sitting there? He believed in his heart, this is what I'm going to do. But I want people to wait and sit. Similar situation happened. You know the story about George Mueller. And he had the orphanage. And people were hungry. Children were hungry. He said, okay, take the plate and sit down and let's pray for the food. There is no food. There are empty plates, and they prayed over the plates, Lord, thank you for this food. And as soon as they finished the prayer, somebody knocks at the door. He says, there was a wedding party or whatever canceled, or they had lots of food, so we brought it to the children. See how God does? Another ministers also. So he said, one time my mom, we didn't have the money, we didn't have the food, and mom said, okay, take the plate, let's pray over the food. The son says, what, we are going to eat the plates? But he said, pray over it. And they prayed and hear the knock on the door, and the lady says, you know, I just cooked turkeys and chicken and this and that, and I just bought it for you. And so God supplies the need.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.